mean, I have a bit about like that Polish values are family, church, and homophobia. And I had someone come and saying like, yes, this is my value. And you're like, what are we even saying here, you know?
So your job become their yes, affirmation. Welcome to Comedy with an Accent podcast. I'm your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. I interview comedians who perform English stand-up comedy but who are not native English speakers or they can have a very distinct British regional accent. This podcast is all about comedy, about accent, about languages, and about the comedy technique. So stay tuned if you're interested.
How's that? Pretty good so far, yes. Just woke up, pretty hangover actually. And then I cycled here.
That's always a risk doing on a weekend morning.
Yeah, 10:30. I wasn't going to go out, but yesterday I got invited to this house party. Oh, I forgot her name even.
Sorry a second. Can we start recording? I want this to be in. Is it? You forgot his name. Where were you?
I just went as a plus one. It wasn't my house. It was like my friend invited me to a house party.
Was it a comedian's house party?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. Whose house party was that?
I don't remember.
You don't remember whatever's in it?
Yeah, the name. Because I don't know this person very well.
But you remember what you nicked from the food supply.
Oh, the food supply. I don't even eat meat, but I had so many chicken poppers that I woke up this morning and like my stomach problem was like, okay, it was the Guinness, but also just an extortionate amount of processed chicken that I don't normally eat. So it was good snacks.
Well, Guinness.
Spread,
just to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Early, yeah.
Okay, let's get on with the recording. Can I have the 3, 2, 1 from you?
3, 2, 1.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Comedy with an Accent podcast. Now, before I go any further, so to reveal your background, I'm going to do the annoying thing with our lovely tech today. This is Julian. Julian, now based on the talk, the short conversation we've had so far, can you guess where my guest is from today?
My name is
Kat. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's a hot one. You could look, see he's biting his lips.
I know you'll be a good one
for this game.
Have a clue.
Continental Europe. The country is still in the European Union. That's what I would give you. Is it? Okay, it is.
I think so.
She's like, no, they won't leave. She has stayed in the UK before, hence the accent.
I don't want to say much now.
I don't know, Finland.
I like Finland.
You do have a really popular show on YouTube about Finnish having 50 words I was describing.
Yeah.
That is wrong, and you are quite wrong. Yeah.
I think it is a compliment.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Finnish people are cool.
Okay. No offense to Finnish people. Huh?
Georgia.
That's a random one. The right direction, but wrong.
Is it the right direction?
Well, it's not Scandinavia, that's what I'm saying.
True.
This is artificially enhanced. It's not real blonde, is it?
Of course not.
It's just so rude.
I mean, look at my eyebrows. It's a very... No more clues. Okay, fine. You're thinking too niche. Think mainstream. How many do you get in this country from another country?
That's too obvious a clue.
Is it?
Let's see.
It's a third chance.
Romania.
Oh,
that's a good one, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, popular here.
Okay, so my guest today is Katniss from Poland.
I didn't think that mainstream.
Yeah, not mainstream. It is
no,
mainstream,
actually,
right?
That's whole perfect because it matches one thing I want to say to you today. So let me first explain, Kat, welcome to the podcast. And you are a Polish comedian who had lived in the UK before,
yes.
But you are now Berlin, Germany based. But let's just say you prefer Berlin than saying Germany, right?
Yeah. Berlin is not Germany.
Okay. Yeah, you're the Berlin girl. You're not a girl living in Germany. But you do come to clubs in London every now and then. So why do I play this game? Well, it's not just to be horrible to Julian. There's a specific purpose. I want to prove that. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that when you speak English that you have an accent?
I mean, everybody has an accent,
don't
right?
give me those crap. I mean, colloquially, some people get away with it because their accent is considered standard. Then people won't say they have accent.
I don't think I have a British accent. I think when I used to live here, I sounded more British. But then since I moved to Germany, somehow the way Germans speak English that kind of rubbed off of me. So now it's kind of a mix of a little bit of a German accent, but I don't even speak German. That's the funny part. Like my English just deteriorated. And then I have a bit of a British. I lived in South African for a while too. And I think that rubbed off a little bit.
I listened to the other podcast you did. I knew you lived in Melbourne, Australia
before.
Yes,
a live in Australia and Scotland as well. So I think there's like a mix of what I have picked up on, especially like little bits and bobs of words I use. And then I get Dutch a lot, actually.
You get Dutch a lot?
Yeah, people say I'm from Netherlands. I think it's just like this.
So in short, your answer to my question is that you do think you have an accent, but it's one that's very international and very hard to pin down. Is that right? Would you say
so? Yeah, I don't get Polish often. I mean, let's say like foreigners who don't speak English very well, they think I'm British because they don't speak English well.
Yeah.
And then British people know, some people guess Poland, some people say Scandinavia.
I was doing that game to Julian just to prove that he can tell, as a native English speaker, he can tell you're not from here.
100%,
it's very difficult to map out where the you're from. And that's what I was trying to prove.
That's what I've been trying to achieve.
Okay. I don't know Kat super well, but we've always been friendly. I only gig with you two or three times, basically. Mm, yeah. So twice in Berlin. And I always thought, is she playing a character? Like, whenever she says she's from Poland, is she lying? Because
I'm actually Russian.
No, I couldn't get the Slavic sound, the very typical Slavic accent. That's almost, at least for me, there's not a trace of that. Maybe for the Polish or East European language speaker, they can tell the little traces. But for us who are not familiar with Slavic languages, you don't come across someone having a sort of a Slavic or East European-ish accent. Mm. Even though Poland like to say these days they are Central European, but let's just forget about those political
correctness.
That was what I'm trying to prove. And you move around, so you pick up traces from each place. I was listening to this podcast you did. There's one or two sound. It doesn't make you sound, oh, that's Britishism. I don't remember what that word is.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Think there's a couple of words that I use or like, it depends on my day. If I spend a lot of time with English people, I'll pick it up more.
Mm.
And then I've been here now for 2 days, so it's starting to come back.
Yeah.
And then when I'm back in Germany or even Poland, then it's kind of changes. The funniest thing is like I met a girl who saw me perform like 5 years ago and I was here and I was like, sounded very British. And then she saw me like about 3 months ago and she watched me on stage and she's like, oh, you're doing a new shtick. you sound so different. She thought I'm putting a character on because I sounded so different. And I got off stage and I continued talking in this more German sounding accent. She's like, oh, that's what you sound like now.
Where were you at this performance?
That was in Berlin. Yeah.
It was in Berlin. Yeah. Okay. So she thought 3 months ago you sounded more British or more German?
No, like sounded more German, like totally different to what I sounded 5 years ago. And I see clips as well, because if I wouldn't be doing comedy, I wouldn't record that, right?
Yeah.
But because I have recordings of me on stage, I could really see 5 years ago I sounded so much different.
Really?
I work with a lot of Germans that speak English with a very German accent, and I guess you kind of have to... I'm spineless, that's all I'm saying.
That's
okay?
Why you
I just
are...
pick up shit
no,
around.
No. No, but that's why you have always been a perfect guest. Not only because I haven't had a Polish guest yet. I was keen to get you on, but you've turned me down before. You say that, you know what? Podcast's just not my thing. Until I realized a couple of months ago, I saw an Instagram clip. And you went on the podcast, Big Mike and Chief. I have to say, I am very, very catnip.
I mean, you're just plugging someone else's podcast, by the way.
Kudos to you. I will come to this later. Mike is a lovely guy. I love him to bits as an act. I even had him headline my Comedy with Accent show before. But I would say I found out a lot more about you when you did the other dating-related podcast.
Yes. So I did a podcast like 5 years ago when I started. It was a dating one in Berlin. And then it was nice. But then... I don't know. I just had this fear of just like, what if I say something stupid on a podcast or something cancelable or like, I don't know, just like I had a fear. And then a couple months ago when I kind of was mapping out what I want to do this year, which is challenge myself, I want to do more improv or sketch or do different things. Like last year I tried ukulele, thank that's gone.
I did that in 2021 as well.
No, awful. So I decided to do more podcasts and then Mike's and Rob's podcast came up and then I was like, it's not just testing the waters, it's just like hopping right in. And they didn't ask me, I asked them to be on it and they were like, you sure? Listen to a few episodes because, you know, we're really out there. And I did and I was like, yeah, I'll try it. And I was the first woman and still the only woman they had on a podcast.
And you say your episode is now by far the most popular episode.
And it was randomly the most viewed one, but I don't know, maybe because I was a woman, you know? So I just did it again yesterday. It's even more unhinged than the first one. Personally, I don't listen to podcasts at all, to be honest.
Not at all?
No, I was...
I can edit this episode however much I want and you won't find out about it.
probably, yeah. I mean, I didn't listen to my own episode on their podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there, so I know what... what we said. So.
And why do I have to? That's the point.
I know. I'm like, what are we talking about? All the podcasts? Are we doing this podcast?
We're doing this podcast, but I say you getting on that podcast and how you perform or like being yourself on the podcast. I feel you are a very unfiltered comedian.
Yes.
Would you accept that?
I guess, yes.
Yeah. To say someone is real today sounds a bit cliche or sounds a bit fake. But I think you are real, but in that you are unfiltered.
Yeah, I guess, but I think sometimes because like I always go with the flow in my life too. So I always do shit for a story and I do get in weird situations and crazy scenarios.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I bring that to stage, people think I'm making it up just to like raise controversy or push buttons. But it's just like, this is what happened to me and that's what I'm sharing. And I think, yeah, it can be read different ways from the audience.
I can see what you say and where those people are coming from because some people try to construct a edgelord.
Yes.
How do you say the female version? Of an edgelord.
Ooh,
edge dam.
Yeah.
I guess what I want to say is this unfiltered, this bluntness, is it you or has it to do with your Polish background? Would you say, is there any link between that?
I don't think so. I mean, I hear every time someone, men who meet me and they like, oh, Polish, a lot of people say, obviously, I know a Polish person. Mm. Oh, I know a Polish word, usually means slut or whatever they want to impress.
Do they?
Yeah, kurwa, you know, that's like the people try to show off they. And I'm like, I know a few words in English too, you know, and then in my swearing repertoire. But I've came across men that said, oh, my ex was Polish. And they usually say, I say like, was she crazy? And they're like 100%. Because for years I heard like, I had a Polish ex and she was nuts. And I don't know what it is that like Polish women supposedly are insane.
Mm.
I don't know, maybe it's like the cultural differences that they see. Mm. I think, you know, Catholic upbringing, there's always stuff that then is reflected in your sex life, for example, the guilt and shame you push in and that all comes out in the bedroom or something.
It's a very extreme pendulum, right? You repress it so much and then when you come out of it.
I don't know. I don't really particularly think that who I am as a person is like reflection of my Polish origin, nor is my star sign or something, you know? This is just a combo of everything, my family, my upbringing. I think I'm really similar to my parents as well. So that's where it stems from.
I bring this up only because you mentioned somewhere, I think it was a clip, so maybe it was a part of the joke, Polish say things as they are. But then when I sit down and do the analysis of actual facts, you spent about half of your life so far outside Poland, basically.
True, yeah.
Yeah. So if you say Poland gave you so much influence, as in you definitely get the other half of that from the global metropolis.
But I see what you mean though here, yeah. I think Eastern Europeans, and now living in Germany too, people are very direct.
Mm.
Like they really say what's on their mind, borderline rude. You know, it's different than like being in Britain and people being super polite. But like, I miss it. Like sometimes I come from Berlin and like a woman at the Marks and Spencer's the other day was like, how are you? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, nobody asked me that question for months. And even if they don't care, it, you know, they still ask it here. And in Germany, it's just like...
And sometimes you do play the Polish stereotype to be effective in your jokes. I would feel you represent more as a Berlin girl to me rather than a Polish woman.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense to you. I feel, especially your accent doesn't really carry that typical Slavic or East European sound. For me, you just sound like a very cliched white millennial woman.
Bitch, please.
Maybe you are representing that new generation of Polish people lucky enough to enjoy exactly whether you're from Eastern Europe, Central Europe, Western Europe. You can live the same life. You can become an expat. Mm. So you move to a big city and you live your life to the fullest. So some of your jokes, I think, especially the earlier one, you would start by talking about where you come from and talk about Polish stereotype. You do have a joke when you talk about Polish men, why you don't date them, and you describe them not having a neck.
Yeah, and the funniest thing is, in places, that joke works so well in places that there is a lot of Polish people.
Yeah, and there's elements
because people are like, oh yeah, I can picture that guy, you know, with no hair, bald head, massive arms, you know, big necklace and a fancy car and stuff like this. Yeah, I mean, there's a trend. I mean, there is a look like this in Poland, for sure.
There is an element of truth in that.
For sure, yeah.
But a lot more of your joke, and those jokes I really like, are you just talking about you being the scenario and you're not afraid to make yourself the butt of the joke? And the silly things you would do, like you go to Peru to do ayahuasca.
Yes.
Sometimes people who live in Berlin would try to create a much cooler, trendier, fun side of them. So they would do the things you talk about without the scandals or the embarrassing
things. Oh yeah, the diarrhea that I had
Yeah, for example. So your joke, you talk about the ayahuasca and then how you are holding back your diarrhea.
Yes.
So typically, a lot of the Berlin immigrant or expat, how they like to call them, they want to construct this trendy, cool image. So they do talk about drinking, they do talk about drugs, they talk about sex. They don't talk about the embarrassing bits.
Yeah, I guess, but I also talk about the cliche subjects like just sex, dating and drinking. But
you say cliche or maybe just very relatable. It's a stuff everyone can understand.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on the angle. I think that's important to connect to other people. You know, when you're seeing someone on stage who's just like, I'm amazing, I'm doing these cool things, you're like, well, good for you. Like, I don't care, right? You're a twat. My friends all love my stories because they tell me after listening to your stories, I feel better about my own life. And that's what I like to bring to the table too. I'm like, look, this embarrassing happened to me. And then people are like, oh yeah, embarrassing shit happens to me. I guess we're all connecting on that vulnerable level. I'm actually in the middle of a bit of a crisis.
Oh, why is that?
Personality-wise on stage, I think, because like last year I did a show called Blackout, which is basically like a murder mystery. You don't know what happened the night before. The suspects, I woke up in someone's bed, right? And it's pretty much an hour of just drinking, sex, drugs, rock and roll. And during writing that show, I kind of stopped drinking. And I stopped going out as much. And then I kind of like, it stuck around because I had some intestine problems and stuff. So I had to cut down on my alcohol consumption. And then I had to do the show.
Stopper.
Basically constantly talking about drinking when I wasn't drinking. And it also attracted certain audiences, which is like...
The boozy.
Drunk sluts. That's my audience, basically. Drunk sluts. I've been told that repeatedly. And it's not wrong. I got told this by a man after a show. And I got angry. But I was like, he is not wrong. Like, that's, you know, people who enjoy their ride in life. That's what I'm saying. You know? You like to have fun. You like to party. And it was great. But I had a lot of people who were too drunk to watch the show because they were loving it, but they were heckling. And you're just like, this is the audience you're attracting. This is like looking in the mirror.
Did you foresee that coming before you roll the premises of the show?
No.
Because I thought the description looked brilliant. This is the description you had from the show, Blackout. Cat woke up in a stranger's apartment with a hangover and no recollection of night before. It was a Tuesday in Berlin. And with three wrist stamps, a haiku, and a half-eaten kebab. How are you going to work out what happened? I thought it was a brilliant show synopsis. But when you wrote the show, did you expect to attract such drunk level of heckling crowd?
No.
It was a complete surprise.
But it's like my people, you know? So I can't really turn my back on them. But I think like personally, I'm on a bit of a journey. I'm trying to be like, okay, so I feel like my first few years in comedy was like low hanging fruits, you know, Poland, drinking, partying. But like I'm trying to write jokes that have a bit more meat on it and talk about different things. Because also an hour of the same subject, whatever it is, gets repetitive, right?
Well, yeah, so, but like, then this, you have a bone structure. You have a good storyline, right?
There was a storyline, you know, there were clues. There were songs even. I did some a ukulele song. But this show worked well for the audiences that are into it. So the drunk sluts loved it, right?
Yeah.
This is like a me girl.
Yeah.
But then I toured with this show and sometimes it was the English show in town, which random people who came. Me, some people hated that show. Like it was too offensive, too, you know, explicit. And yeah, there was some rough gigs.
I'm going to tell you who told me the same thing. Another comedian from Berlin. So I interviewed Freddie last year. Freddie Gala, a great comedian, also based in Berlin. And her show's premises is an ex-Christian girl.
Yes.
Yeah, she kind of drew a comfortable distance with her face. And in that, she jokes about the sex club scene in Berlin. And when she performed outside Berlin, that becomes a problem she didn't expect. So she would have a quick joke like, Kit Kat Club, but I prefer another chocolate brand. And she just sort of treat the sex positivity as it is. But outside Berlin, people can be more prudish. So
for sure, depends where you're touring.
So when you were telling me the story, it reminded me of the bit when Freddie told me about this. Yeah.
I think anything that's specific also to Berlin or certain places, obviously that doesn't really work well in sometimes other countries, right? Because they don't have the point of reference. But sex clubs in general.
I think it would work in Brighton in the UK. But if you were to go to somewhere like Harrogate or even Edinburgh.
Yeah. Oh my God, I did a gig in Harrogate. Oh, that was the worst. Yeah. And obviously you tailor your material and you're like, this is my clean stuff. But like, my clean stuff is still dirtier than a lot of people on the lineup, you know, dirty stuff.
But would you say, because you just described earlier, you described the old comedy inspiration or source of material as low-hanging fruit. Do you think that's a fair comment? It's just different type of jokes.
I guess. I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, when I did my first hour, which was like basically the best jokes of like last 3 years. Mm.
Your best of collection.
Yes. That was like, that was my first jokes ever. And that's like a first album of a band. Like, you know, this is the jokes that you have worked on actually not last few years. So I think like there was jokes that I maybe threw at parties or before, like used it before doing comedy. Mm. And some of it was like basic stuff, you know, who I was at that point. And then I kind of changed. And I think when you start, you also go for low-hanging fruits. Okay, I'm from Poland, you know, like this is...
Well, maybe rather than low-hanging fruit, it's like the most obvious, the most closest, obvious, the most immediate that you think you would draw. And and others are coal mines that takes a bit longer and deeper to dig out.
Yeah, some more opinions on subjects or maybe some more difficult topics that, you know, take a bit more experience to make it funny.
So for me, why I say I really enjoy when you talk about being a Berlin girl, because you can say that there's a specific trope or genre of comedy going for your national, racial, ethnic stereotype. In a way, you can also be very stereotypical when you talk about a big city like Berlin or about drugs and drinking. But I feel in your Berlin-related jokes, there's a much stronger personal element in that. I could see clearly that's you, and you have very clever your own take on that stuff.
You redeemed yourself after calling me a cliche millennial from the first half. I forgive you now.
I thought that's something you would have said right now. Like, it's something you've used. When I say something offensive.
Yeah, but when I say it, it's different than when you bitch started the you're a cliche millennial. I'm like, okay.
I'm also a cliche man. That it was kind of weird you were on a journey of being cleaner and sober when you were doing the drunk show.
Yeah.
But was it at the time when you were about to go to Ireland, Kilkenny for that?
For my minor retreat. No, that was November.
So you had two different periods of quitting alcohol, basically.
Yes. So that was like, I was preparing for like, it's similar to ayahuasca. It's called Iboga. It's a medicine from Gabon and it's meant to like defrag your brain. It's pretty good.
Why are you putting yourself through these?
I mean, it's interesting. It's
what if, I know, because you joke about this. You never know. What if you do something like this, only wake up, realize your organs have been harvested? Like,
yeah, after,
you
true.
Know, I don't like to surrender control, though. For me, that's frightening.
I actually hate surrendering control as well. I'm a control freak a little bit, but...
Is that the exact reason why you forced yourself into doing this?
Maybe. To work on letting it go a little bit,
Do you perform Poland in Polish?
I've done it once, and it was one of the most traumatic experiences of my entire life.
Right. Okay. Do tell. Tell.
So I was doing this thing for Comedy Central. Like, we were co-writing, translating some sketches, and I was acting in one of them.
The witch in the office, the thing
That me. And they were saying that they have interest really for female comedians doing stuff in Polish, and, you know, I had contacts there, and I was like, sure, let me get into practice so I can maybe then perform. I messaged some people. I was going to go and just do a couple of, like, rough open mics just to practice, and then it all kind of ended up with lots of changes of plans. But I basically opened for this guy who's like quite famous, 300 seater in the middle of nowhere near my village, which is like very traditional right wing kind of area. And it was horrific. I went on stage. Also, to start with, I had zero practice in Polish. I translated my jokes, which never
Right. Would you describe it as a Kaczynski crowd?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because they do say the voting pattern in Poland is fringes on both sides against the sort of liberal central Krakow and Warsaw, basically.
So the jokes were not great because I translated them. The subjects were definitely too much. And it's also like there's a certain kind of a joke that you can make as a Polish person abroad to other Polish people abroad, because you have that point of reference of other immigrants.
The people who have traveled.
Who have traveled but also left Poland for a reason, maybe.
Yes.
Versus people who are like, I mean, I have a bit about like that Polish values are family, church and homophobia. And I had someone come and saying like, yes, this is my value. And you're like, what are we even saying here, you know?
So your joke become their affirmation.
Yes. So this is the kind of crowd I have there. And then, like, you know, they didn't resonate with the material. The jokes weren't great. It was the longest 7 minutes of my life while I was on stage bombing horrifically. And it was all like just men mostly who were drinking shots of vodka before. The floor was so sticky. It was a discotheque. And they all were staring at me. I got heckled so hard from the moment I went on stage. Like, show us your tits. La, la, la. It's like, you know, misogynistic shit up top. I got frazzled. And my crowd work is not great in Polish because I'm not using Polish very often. So I wasn't on my feet. And then I just stood there being like, oh my God, I left Poland because of people like you. And here I am like a monkey performing in front of you, asking for your approval. And I felt so like traumatically, like, I don't know, I felt like I want to vomit or spit in their face or something. It was just like, you know, intense, but I had to finish my 7 minutes and then sit down and watch this guy murder for an hour and a half afterwards. And then after that, I think I didn't do stand up for like 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
But with the same kind of material, but then say they wouldn't joke on the ironic tone on homophobia. But would you think some of those material a guy would have got away with it? That they just don't appreciate coming
from a woman? Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think it was too sexually liberated. And then and some comments were just like, oh, you know, a lot of times what I get like from posting my jokes on TikTok or Instagram is like, I don't know if it's, I think a lot of nations have that. They can't take a distance to themselves. Like, yeah. Why you have to criticize Poland or joke about something about Poland? Why don't you pick another country? I'm like, what am I going to joke about Turkey? Like, that's going to be racist. This is the country I'm from, yeah. So I can make jokes about that, you know? And they're just like, oh, you should just say nice things about Poland. That's not how jokes work, you know?
No, like, but that's typical of a nation that's quite insecure in its own identity and self.
Just unable to take a distance, take the piss out of himself, don't understand how comedy works. You know, people who are factually correcting you on Instagram being like, this is okay, you don't get it.
To be fair, when I asked you that question, it was just like, it was off the sender question I asked for everyone. I didn't expect, every episode, I always mull over what should be the opening clip to lure people in. It's going to be that the traditional value for Poland is the Catholic Church family and homophobia. And people wrote to you, yes. So that'll be the best opening of it.
Yes, I also had someone, so BuzzFeed picked up some of my stuff a couple years ago, and clearly they had some agenda on doing Polish jokes just to show culture, but they cut out all my Polish bits, which I never do in like one go.
The context.
It's like one here or there within the context of other things, and they just like handpicked the stuff and just mushed it up into a reel of just me kind of shitting on Poland, basically.
Each baby is kind of a Poland hater.
Yes. Like
exclusively.
Oh my God, the comment section on that video. I stopped reading it after like a few days because it was just...
But you do believe in the notion that there's no such a thing as bad PR. It's still PR after all.
I mean, when it comes to views, I guess, but then like you're just gathering more haters and it's like, oh, it's like when I posted my first video on TikTok and I talked about holes in the road. There's a particular road from Berlin to Poland that when you're driving, it has just like so many holes.
The potholes.
Yes. And then... Oh my God, it got like 300,000 views within a couple of hours. So many comments. People like, because they thought I'm German, they were like, oh, your grandpa Hitler made these holes in this road. You ugly. At least cows are pretty here. Cows are not prettier than women, like in Germany. So they were shitting on Germany, calling me, you know, a Nazi, telling me I had bad teeth.
That's not fair. Bad teeth is for British, not for Germans.
My teeth are not that bad, actually. So... But, you know, it's just like crazy. People just like get so attached to the fact that I talked about holes in the road, which there is a road that has these holes. Like, this is a fact. Or like that I had a bit about the fact that I used to share bath water in my house. I would go in first and my mom would use the same water. And people were like, you're painting a wrong picture of Poland. We don't share bath water. I'm like, I just said we did that in my
family.
See,
I think the fact they are so worked up by this is more hilarious and they didn't realize it. Like, such insecurity. Sharing bath water is something Japanese would do. And people have no doubt that Japan
world,
is... Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's the problem with that? And you getting offended so easily by this harmless little factual thing as a joke? I just thought, nah, don't be.
Just the lack of, distance, I'd say. My favorite was recently someone called me a traitor. I actually recorded a special in January this year. It's going to be on Out TV.
Yeah.
And it's called Traitor. It basically... mush up of all my specials, and the theme is that I've betrayed, you know, my younger self, my community, all this, because someone called me a traitor. They said I have a cultural cringe, and I had to Google it. I didn't know what that term was, and it's like an internalized
self-hate
of your own country.
Right.
It's not me, because mine is not internalized, you know. Like, mine is out there. It's an educated choice.
I think the gap gap between the old-fashioned conventional distinction of Eastern Europe, Western Europe is much, much lighter. When I played the game with Julian, there was one key point I want to highlight. In the early 2000s, when people were performing, it was very easy to do the Polish people coming here to steal your job jokes. But if someone tried to play that Polish stick right now, it's a bit more difficult because that brand has moved on to Romanians.
Yes, yes, 100%. It's just, and like, I think in general, yeah, like post-Brexit and people are realizing how certain industry actually lacking people now, there's a less of that, I feel like.
Yeah. So that's why when you were trying to say, I'm going to give you a tip, is all the immigrants, and there's the majority immigrants where they're from in this country. Julian's first instinct was to go for Romanian rather than Polish. It's like, if I were a comedian in the 90s and I do the Made in Taiwan joke, it would have been hilarious. But now for young people, it doesn't make that much sense. It's more like Made in China, for example. So that brand kind of have moved on.
Yeah. I think a lot of Polish people moved back to Poland as well.
Yeah.
Post-Brexit. Like the whole stereotype of, like, you know, people coming, you know, like in 2000s when the borders opened to UK.
2004. Yes, I remember.
The crime rates in Poland dropped by half. It's like, it's funny, but it's also like makes sense. People who have no future in the country, they can go and start a new fresh here.
So Polish sort of paid back for Australia once UK shipped their prisoner to Australia. I arrived just a year after the enlargement of EU and suddenly the Starbucks are staffed with slightly speaking accents.
Yeah.
Suddenly, most of the Starbucks, you have Polish waiters. I was like, oh, Starbucks is served by white people again. Where I live, Southeast London, used to be the working class area. Because the location is quite central, after 2004, you see a lot of independent Polish shop and Lithuanian shop. I can see all that. Mm. But what it means about Polish in the UK, it has been 20 years since Poland joined the EU.
Wow, damn, we're old.
Yeah, and then UK got out, so I was, for example, in a language class. I would see people, Polish people who grew up here. Maybe they came at the age of 5 or 7 and they grew up speaking perfect English. They also travel back and forth and some of them move back to Poland. So it's very difficult to pin down, like, you're completely Polish and you're completely English. You basically have a group of Polish people have a permanent life here in the UK.
I mean, it's like with every nation, right? There's generations of, you know, parents, grandparents moving here. And I think for Polish also, like, the first stereotype was always like, oh, people moving here who are desperate for jobs. And it was always like physical labor, you know, working in restaurants.
Like we say, like potatoes. professor willing to do painting or handiwork job that just makes more money.
But then it changed. Like, you know, I know a lot of people who studied here who have jobs in high positions. So it's like, I think that stereotype of just a Polish builder, I mean, I think there's still lots of Polish builders anyway, but like there's stereotypes about certain types of jobs or manual labor that also changed. Like people realize,
I think so. It's not as distinct, so the joke is not as effective. It used to be that bang, and it's very easy to get or suddenly all on board. You are from Katowice and you describe your town as a shitty town.
I'm not from Katowice. I'm from like a small village nearby.
From some village.
Which is like a coal mining area, so very polluted. Just nothing exciting really, I guess.
And that's why you decided to leave.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to study abroad. That was the first. I moved to Aberdeen first. I've lived in Aberdeen for a year.
Wow.
And then I switched to Edinburgh. So I moved my course and I finished studies there. And then it just kind of, I was like, yeah, I'll stay here. I moved to London after to...
What really struck me as surprising is you didn't go to Berlin because you say that's a place I want to end up. It's that you apply for a job in Hamburg and your job in Hamburg moved the office to Berlin.
Berlin, yeah.
So you went to Berlin.
I never chose Berlin, yeah.
You never chose Berlin, but Berlin found you.
I never chose Germany, to be honest. I never wanted to live in Germany. The funny thing is I always said Germany is just temporary and I've been there for 5-6 years now, which is one of these things that you like... The relationships that you're like,
almost,
you don't see.
6 years in Berlin, you're almost a permanent resident by their standard. But it's quite close to go home visiting.
Yeah, but where I live, actually, it's an 8-hour drive. There's no direct connection for flights. I have to fly to Warsaw, then Katowice or Krakow, and then drive. So it takes like 8-9 hours every time.
What
anyway.
About trains? Isn't it?
Trains also 9 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So it's actually easier to get home when I lived in London. Because it was an hour flight to Katowice and that was fine. Berlin, I just kind of like, yeah, it's an expat bubble a little bit, right?
Yes.
Berlin,
yes.
It's...
evidenced really... by the fact that you're still not relatively fluent in German.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near.
But you don't have to. You get away with it. So what does it mean? Why is it different being a Polish comedian in London and in Berlin? Is there a subtle difference or not really?
Oh, comedy-wise? Berlin audiences are different. It's like a mix of everybody, right? Like, you have really, it's an international bubble. It's like, it's really booming. I would say the biggest scene outside of London.
Everybody,
is Berlin.
You mean like all walks of life or different nationality?
Both, yeah. Both. So you really have to tailor it to more international audiences. Well, I think when you're gigging in London or in the UK, it's like British audiences mostly, right?
Yes.
I have a joke that I talk about, like, oh, I'm bilingual. Anyone else feels this way? And a lot of times, there's like one person in the room that's bilingual.
Thank you for saying that. I have a joke, which I think personally, it's not like ha 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 funny, but slightly funny. I say, do you not think the name Duolingo is not very ambitious?
Yeah.
And it never gets a laugh. Okay, in central London, in Angel, where you have an international heavier crowd, they may get it.
Mm.
But any other gig in the UK, people are just like, why is that funny? Because the whole idea is a lot of Europeans speak at least three languages. So you're aiming to increase your current stock take to 2.
Mm.
That's not very ambitious. And Luxembourgish or Swiss people find it hilarious. But British people are like, what's the problem? They first probably don't even understand Duolingo.
Yeah.
And even if they get through the first barrier, they don't find the premises funny at all. So I never do that in London right now. But if I go do it elsewhere in continental Europe, I always bring this one up.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the point of reference is lost.
Yeah. But then, for example, when you do dating-related stuff, I guess it's universal. You should work both in London and Berlin. And maybe in London, people's acceptance of drug-related jokes is equally high. But when you talk specifically about Polish stereotype, does that have to be quite different?
I think it's the same. Because there's a big community of Polish people in Germany too, you know? So people know. It's like when I did the show in Japan or Brazil, I was like, oh, half of my staff won't work. People don't know anything about Poland, really, you know?
Mm.
I mean, there's a way of obviously explaining, but if you're really playing on a certain reference point, then it's going to be hard to get it.
Yeah, it's like me talking about difference between East Asian country and people like, why would I care? You guys are all the same lot. So I'm going to pick up something we mentioned earlier in the conversation. You say that you have evolved, but that was when you say you were performing.
I'm on a journey.
Well, you were performing the blackout show in a sober state, but you don't mean to quit alcohol forever. But what is your relationship with that typical cliche millennial white woman's lifestyle? Have you grown out of it, or you say, I'm having a break?
What's that typical millennial cliche woman's lifestyle?
That's the 3 pinned reel clips on your Instagram. Is that fair?
Which ones are? I'm trying to think now, what do I have pinned? I don't know, is it about alcohol consumption or what kind of...
Alcohol, drug, living, like the sex the fullest, and you have a hungover, wake up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I don't really drink that often anymore.
So that's what I'm saying, like...
That's different, I guess.
Yeah.
I save it for special occasions because I have, like, health problems.
Mm.
So when I do drink, I pay a high price, so I can't do it all the time.
But do you talk about this in your comedy material?
No.
No, or not yet?
Not yet, I guess.
What I'm saying is someone built out a brand being the specific type of person, and they rather maintain the consistency of that brand. So even though in their real life they've stopped drinking less, they wouldn't reflect that part of personal change onto their comedy.
Yeah.
But that would not be you, because
it's
your comedy...
It's hard because I feel like I don't believe in that joke anymore. I don't say I've been... I think the joke maybe is still good, but it's like it's not me, so it feels kind of fake to do it. You know?
Yeah, that's my point. I find it very interesting in your description of your liability show. It's a filled with drunken, hungover, or occasionally sober stories, brutally honest and highly entertaining. So I think that brutally honest, that word captures so well what you are, who you believe you to be as a person, as a performer at the same time. I don't think you are capable of dissociating the stage person and the real person. You can't.
I don't think it's a persona or like a brand. I mean, obviously it is in a way, but like it is who I am. And I think we all evolve, right, in life. And I think it's important in comedy to also show that. Because you kind of see comedians that were funny 20 years ago and they're still doing the same thing now, especially with, like, straight white men. And you're like, oh, this doesn't resonate with audiences anymore because we've all moved as a society too, you know? We have changed. Things that we like, things that we are open to, it's different now. And if you're stuck kind of in your mindset from a long time ago, you become irrelevant too, because everyone else moved on. We all developed. That's the journey of life, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's important to share that too. When you evolving, that without trying to be preachy, being like, oh, nobody can drink now, because like I'm not gonna betray all my fans. still drink a lot, please.
So has any of the, how do you call them? The drunk sluts? Has any of them approached you saying, Kat, why don't you do that jokes anymore?
No. I mean, I do bits now about that I cut down on booze and that my younger self would have been so disappointed. I think this stuff you relate to maybe too as a drinker. Maybe people with my age, I guess, also are cutting down. And Gen Zs are cutting down on booze too.
That's true.
It's a common trend,
That's true. So I hope this question doesn't make you feel like I'm dwelling on this over and over. But with our age, we're leaving that carefree 20. You know, you don't really have to think too much. You can just enjoy a big city. But has that resulted in any internal change? Have you thought about, so where life's going? Mm-hmm. And then that is sort of intertwined with where my comedy is going. Do you feel slightly like, am I living a... Is this still appropriate when you are at this age to still live like that style? Because you don't want to, for example, sometimes when I go to a comedy show and you talk to someone with sort of salt and pepper hair, you know, like enough gray.
I have lots of gray hair, actually.
Yeah, and you talk to them, oh, is this your, instead of saying partner, the 50-year-old man would say, this is my girlfriend. And you just feel like, I really shouldn't be laughing, but I just feel like your age, using that term is a little bit...
I mean, I say girlfriend, so I guess that's more mature.
I feel that myself. I say like, oh, I couldn't really feel that comfortable living my life the way I used to in my 20s.
I think there's two parts here. Like, I think, yes, you mature as a person and you're like, this is not me anymore.
Mm.
But it's also, if you're feeling like you want to do something or you're young at heart, we sometimes maybe judge ourselves too hard. You're like, oh, I'm too old for this. I shouldn't do it. But actually do it. You know?
Yeah.
I think in Berlin, it's different because most of my friends are single. They enjoy their lives. So you kind of live in a bubble that is like... It's normal to do it, to go raving when you're 50. So it's different, I guess, when you live in a small village, when all the people are getting married and have kids, and now suddenly you don't fit within your friend group anymore, and you're the weird one out, or the one that's still... My parents party till now. Like, my parents always love partying and traveling and stuff like this, so I think...
Despite stuck in a coal mining, polluted village, well done. Kudos to them.
Yeah, so...
See, I like to have my guests with such wisdom. No, I genuinely appreciate... I appreciate that, because I do have those doubts, maybe I needed to. Now the question is, you have the Berlin bubble to protect you, because in that Berlin bubble, it's fine to do it that way. But you also talk about, as ambitious comedian, you want to grow and you want to have a bigger audience. But in that bigger audience scenario, not everyone is buying that Berlin bubble belief, life philosophy. But you also want to be honest, authentic as a person, as a performer. How do you juggle that?
And when you said I don't overanalyze, thing, I'm like, what are we even? What's the question we're asking
here? Katniss doesn't think about things like this. I live my life.
Yeah.
But honestly, have you ever thought about that?
I think the belief to be young at heart and do things that you want to do, you don't necessarily have to be in a big city. There are people who have that dream or they want to do it, they just feel like they can't. So maybe actually this is bringing that idea to them too.
You know, that's very good.
Just
point.
Encouraging that, you know, you might seem like an odd one out in your small community, but actually there are people out there. Like, I've had people, women come up to me before after show saying like, I thought this too, and I never heard anyone else say it. Or like, I'm glad you verbalize it, you know? And I'm not saying like, oh, my comedy is so empowering, or like, because the subjects are not that highbrow.
No, it is empowering. It's just like... that empowering the word can be overused in this day and age, but it is. I mean, it wasn't your primary intention, but it's very a positive feedback as a performer when we hear that was that, that's great. I mean, I want my joke to be funny, but if that had that, if I found you, happy for you, happy for myself. Okay, so how do people find you? Oh, before this, I forgot. Why Catnip? Is your real name Catalina or Catherine?
Katarzyna, yeah.
So when you say you are Catherine, I'm like, no, don't anglicize it. Your real name must be a Slavic version.
When I moved here years ago, right, it was so... You could tell the difference when you're applying for flats or jobs based on your CV. So I stopped. Katarzyna Okasia was like, it's quite a popular name, I guess. There's lots of Polish people here. And in Poland, we have a book of names.
Yeah.
So now people are getting more adventurous. But it used to be 7 different Kasias in my class because you only had 30 names that you would go by and everybody would go
for. And you did a social experiment when you anglicized your name.
And now I got more replies when it comes to jobs, housing, all that stuff, you know. It was just easier. So at the beginning, I went by Kate, actually, in the UK. And then Kat kind of like... I like that more.
Like Middleton.
Like, Yes, that's before she was.
Let's not badmouth her. She's resting.
Okay, yeah. I don't even know. But yeah, then like Katniss, you know, from Hunger Games, that was like one thing, and I was like, catnip sounds cool.
Yeah.
I've never heard this before. And then my mother, actually, a couple years after I took it, she sent me an excerpt from a book she was reading, and it was a sex worker's name in one of the books that she was reading, also named by someone. You know, somebody said Katniss or catnip. You make it about breasts, you know. But that was not the inspiration. So yeah, I just did. Catnip Presents, but that was Presents before on my Instagram, because I used to make, before I did comedy, I also did a lot of like handmade jewelry, arts and crafts, and
side
things
hustle.
Like this.
You had a different side
I
hustle.
Wouldn't sell it. It's more like just funny, weird stuff that I would make for friends and their birthdays. So I was just like Catnip Presents. And then when I became a comedian, I was like, I'll stick with catnip. It's just easier for people to remember than Katarzyna Gamboris. Yeah. Like, that's wild. And then Presents just stuck. And then that's...
You're
that's
absolutely it. Right. Because when you say, please follow me, I'm Catnip Present, cat with a K, and that's enough for
easy.
You. And when I say I'm Kwanwen Comedy, even people have the intention to follow me, they probably don't remember and don't know how to
I mean, people don't remember shit anyway after you say stuff after gig. So that's...
Especially if you are drunk sluts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's one thing I forgot to say. I'm going to say and pluck it in. It's just that you mentioned that you like to put ugly stuff on Instagram as a protest. Just that people are portraying over-glorified, beautified...
Hashtag gross things, gross foods of Instagram, yes. I've started that trend. Trend that has 7 posts and they're all mine. Probably a decade ago, because that's when like everybody was so obsessed about, you know, posting their beautiful brunches on Instagram. And I started, I have a weird diet and I eat weird foods, and it often looks like blended of diarrhea and, you know, vomit, really. Just like, I like canned fish and mashed potatoes, weird things. I eat a lot of boiled eggs. But I would take photos of food and I would do hashtag gross food of Instagram and then hashtag prison food. And funnily enough, like a Japanese director contacted me. Because he was making a documentary about Japanese prison food. And he said, he asked me if he can use my pictures. I said, sure. I don't know if he'd ever made it there, but maybe he realized he wasn't real prison food.
He should have requested like exclusive contract to make some money out of it. But that tied back to my thing that start the episode today, unfiltered.
Yep.
A very honest and true and authentic real comedian, Catnip. Now, the only downside is when I try to find stuff about you, it shows the actual catnip, right? Even if I spell with a K. How do people find you on social media? So Catnip Presents on Instagram?
That's like this everywhere, yeah.
Okay, like this everywhere. Anything to plug?
No, that's it. I think I'll have that special coming out around that time, I think, as well.
Cool, okay.
If you follow me on socials, you'll get the link and everything.
Great. Our timing is out and we're going for lunch. And it's been a very great episode. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, see you next time. Bye.